It went against much of the military convention, but he believed he could live off the land he had, as we've just seen, decided that was the case when he retreated back to Tennessee. He also probably had in mind the fact that Winfield Scott had conducted just that kind of campaign in the last phase of his march against Mexico City during the Mexican War. So that is Grant's plan. Well, he shared his plan with his principal subordinates, with William Tecumseh Sherman, with David Dixon Porter, and they didn't like the idea. They thought that it was too risky. In fact, Sherman recommended returning to Memphis, Tennessee. He said, let's just go back to Memphis, pull everybody into Memphis, go through another round of planning and start afresh with a solid supply line. Grant said, no, we can't seem to retreat that way. That would be too hard on Northern morale. That simply won't work. Lincoln also had doubts about whether this idea of running past the Vicksburg batteries would work. And Porter and the Navy men were quite understandably reluctant to do this. They were the ones who were going to be in the ships. They thought that perhaps it wasn't the very best idea. But Grant decided to go with it. He was capable of this kind of decisive decision making. He's much like Lee in that regard. And so ahead he went. And on April 16th, the Union naval vessels, many of them with cotton bales stacked along their sides to protect them, ran past the Vicksburg batteries. They did it at night. The Confederates went down to the river, lit huge bonfires that illuminated the evening. One of Grant's children remembered later in life, he'd been there as a boy on the west side of the river. He said it seemed like daylight. These fires were so bright. The Confederate gunners found their marks. Every Union vessel was hit. Most of them were set afire, and one sank. But the rest of the 12 got past the battery safely. A few nights later, on April 22nd, six transports and 12 barges tried their luck. One transport, six of the barges were sunk. The vessel carrying the medical supplies for Grant's troops went down. But the other ones got through, and Grant now had a fair amount of material below Vicksburg. He moved his infantry just as he had planned from the west side of the river to the east, and he had accomplished what he had sought in this phase of the campaign. As he later wrote in his memoirs, I was on dry ground on the same side of the river as the enemy. All the campaigns, labors, hardships, and exposures from the month of December 1862 onward were for the accomplishment of this one object. By May 1st, Grant had 23,000 infantry at Port Gibson, Mississippi, and he was prepared to go to the next phase of his campaign. Now, this was an accomplishment that had been born of desperation, really. Grant had tried so many other things, none of which had worked. Now, this bold move, this great risk that he had taken, had paid off by at least putting him in a good starting position. But it wasn't clear by any means that he would be successful from here. All he had done is put himself in a position where he might be successful. The North, in other words, couldn't take great heart from this. This isn't a great victory that will inspirit the North. It's just a continuation, a positive one, but a continuation of Grant's campaign. There's going to have to be a period of waiting and seeing, in other words, whether Grant will be successful, whether Grant will in the end deliver the kind of victory at Vicksburg that the Northern people so desperately needed. What we will do in our next lecture is turn our attention to what had been transpiring in Virginia during this same period. There had been enormously important events going on in Virginia, even as Grant was trying to maneuver and get his way into position to take Vicksburg from December until May of 63. December 62 to May of 63, Grant is maneuvering in the west, in the east. There will be two large battles in that same period, and it is to those two large battles that we will turn our attention next time.